From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Wheelie Bob is our only relation. Nobby's right. The rest of them ain't even narwhals.
I'll get that direction from Tom. Just say that Nobby is really disappointed in Narlene because he doesn't get to have any sugar squeeze.
Well, not fair.
Welcome to SpongeBob Binge Pants,
Nickelodeon's official podcast about all things SpongeBob.
I'm Hector Navarro.
And I'm Frankie Grande.
Today on the show, we have a member of voice actor royalty. He is a living legend, one of the greatest voice actors of all time. Mr. Carlos Alazraki is joining us. You know him as the voice of Rocco in Rocco's Modern Life. And he is tons and tons of characters on SpongeBob, including Scooter the Dude and
Nobby the Narwhal on Camp Coral. I mean, just an amazing, amazing person. So excited to talk to him about all of his work on everything, including SpongeBob SquarePants. Here we go.
If you will indulge me, sir, I would love to just very briefly mention some of the tons and tons of iconic Nickelodeon characters that you played, like Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life, Mr. Croaker from The Fairly Odd Parents, Winslow from Cat Dog, Grandpappy Rivera from El Tigre, The Adventures of Manny Rivera, Ton Rock from The Legend of Korra, Carlos from The Loud House and The Casa Grandes, in addition to the non-Nickelodeon iconic characters. We're talking Laszlo from Camp Laszlo, Mr. Weed from Family Guy, Bane from Justice League Doom and Batman vs. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Skyler from Elena of Avalor, the Taco Bell Chihuahua, gotta mention him, literally hundreds of supporting characters in almost every cartoon show ever. Plus, yeah. You've been Deputy James Garcia on Reno 911 since 2003. Carlos, our first question is, yes. Are you getting enough sleep?
I do get my 30-minute naps a day, you know, in between my wife and I trying to sneak in a program because we have two girls that are going to bed later. I do get a little bit of sleep, and I try, but I'm trying to be as busy as Tom Kenny, and I can't catch up. I don't have my own band and perform at the farmer's market after a 7-hour day of directing and voiceover.
Wow.
But I am trying to get my sleep. I'm so happy to be working, and I will take no sleep over working anytime.
And, I mean, we didn't even mention all of the characters that you play on SpongeBob, which is just insane.
That fellow over there used to be the Atomic Flounder. I know he doesn't look like much, but he could go back to crime just like that.
Help! Help somebody there!
You're under arrest, Atomic Flounder!
Stop, kid! Stop! Let him go!
You said he could snap just like that!
What? Get off of me! If I weren't retired,
I was born into the SpongeBob world out of Rocco. From that show came Steve Hillenburg, Mark O'Hare, Dan Povermeyer, Swampy Mars. All kinds of folks came out of that Rocco show. And so it was maybe the Goofy Goober clock in the movie. Hey, everybody, it's the Goofy Goober show. Time to wake up. And then I was most famously in a voice that I have credited to my friend Michael Pace, a comedian out of St. Louis who's really funny. I was Scooter. Hey, SpongeBob, you ripped your pants. All right. Then I think it was like a chef, a driver of a car. You want to go that way or this way? And then I think it was one of the seagulls in the film, too. Yeah. One of the dude seagulls that talk like that. And then more recently on Camp Coral, I played Nobby, who was created by Mr. Lawrence. I kind of told like this and this. Oh, dear. I can't believe I've been speaking this way. And then my favorite guy is probably Harvey. You guys, we are being invaded by space aliens. So that's kind of the litany of my characters.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Awesome.
I guess I ripped my pants again.
Once again, dude, you have split my sides.
Carlos, Scooter the Dude, he is my favorite incidental character on SpongeBob. He splits my sides. He's so funny. I love that guy.
I love him. And I credit it again. Michael Pace came up with this character like, dude, what up? All right. And I told him, I go, Mike, I borrowed that. I used that. And I blended it in with a little bit more of a crazy dude. But all credit to Mike Pace for kind of setting the tone for me to kind of jump off.
And Camp Coral is so much fun. Those episodes that you were doing the lines from. I mean, like the UFO episode was amazing. You're like, your Nobby is such a great, cool character.
We're going to get some sugar squeeze. Ain't that right, Nobby? Yeah, but we're going to do it. Yeah, huh? Tom was an amazing stand-up in San Francisco. He had the whole pompadour haircut with a cat tail in the back and was just a live-action cartoon. And just the nicest guy, as we know. I couldn't believe that. I was walking up Hape Street, and I'm like, that's Tom Kenny. He's like, hey, Carlos, how's it going? I'm like, oh, my God, Tom Kenny knows me. So I knew of him. I knew he was a live-action cartoon. I get Rocco. I know Joe Murray. We're hanging out, and they're looking to find Heifer. And I said, well, there's this guy, Tom Kenny, who's pretty amazing. So I suggested him, and as the story goes, Tom said he used the voice and the laugh of his 12-year-old nephew, the dog kind of laughs like this, and the rest is history. And so he has given me credit for launching him into this role as Heifer, which propelled his career, but I haven't seen any cash.
So you landed the role of Rocco in Rocker's Modern Life. What was it like working on that show with the team members who then went on to create SpongeBob? Like you just mentioned, so many, Mr. Lawrence, Derek Dryman, Tom Kenny, and of course, Stephen Hillenburg. Like, what was that like?
The origin of it is I don't have an agent. I'm a stand-up comedian like Tom was. I'm in Sacramento on a gig. I make a push record voice tape on a cassette of just like a kid at school getting sick and all the characters. That's gross. All right, stand back, everybody, stand back. If that were my child, I'd take him to the doctor. So I made it, and I sent it in. It was really raw, and they said, yeah, you got an audition. I don't have an agent. I show up at a house in near the Sutro Towers, owned by George Maestri, or he was living there. Joe Murray and Nick Jennings are in the basement.
Wow.
All these people are lined up to go in and out. I don't know what I'm doing. They say, this is Joe Murray. We don't want Australian because it's too nail on the head. We want... try a Bruno Kirby. Okay. Hey, everybody. My name is Rocco, and I'm a marsupial from Australia. So, all right. So try Woody Allen. Hey, Spunky, get out of there. You got to destroy that. What are you doing, Spunky? And as I recall, what kept me in the room was we were just talking. I go, oh, yeah, I do Gene Wilder. You are not evil. You are good. So they start cracking up, and I go, oh, my God. And they go, try a Spunky. And I'm like, here we go. And Nick Jennings leaps up off a chair and goes, oh my God, you're Spunky. That's it. You're Spunky. So I go, good. I have an in. I'm Spunky. And then I said, can I just kind of based on his drawing and his teeth, do you mind? And I picked up a vacuum manual and I'm like, when you're cleaning the unit, make sure it's unplugged. Detach hose A from hose B. And they're like, hey, that's kind of good. It was actually a lot more Australian. He was really flattened out because I was kind of learning how to do the accent. And they liked it. They sent it in. Nickelodeon said yes. We made a pilot where he drops the sponge inside the bathtub. And that's where, oh, buddy, small dogs and trash are not a part of a balanced diet. Rocco was yellow. We made a pilot at Poolside Studios. They sent it off. I'm on the road in Seattle at Last Laugh as a comic, and they said, this is going to series. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Wow. And here's the story that Tom Kenny will kind of back me up on. We're both pretty green, right? We both got the job. Doug Lawrence gets Filbert by shoving in a tape at work. And we show up on the first day, Mary Harrington and all the suits are there behind the glass. I'm nervous because I don't know. I'm green, and I hope they're going to like Rocco. And we get there, and Charlie Adler is sitting in a chair, as I recall it, and Tom, I think, recounts the same story. And he's just like, papers are flying, like, oh, Ed, you leave Rocco alone. You have never heard of
tell me what to do, baby. Rocco!
Oh, stop it, Ed.
You stop it. And the papers are flying off, and I'm like, Tom and I are like, oh, my God, I don't belong. I don't belong. I don't belong. And Joe had his process, and Doug had his scripts, and Steve Hillenburg and all those guys, and Mark O'Hare and Dryman. They all eased us along, and they were patient with the development of Rocco. And much like Homer Simpson, who started out as Walter Matthau.
Rocco
was very Australian, very, like I said, like this.
And they said, let's pull it back.
To make him easier to understand. Mm. So then he became a little bit more Cockney with an occasional word.
And I was very nervous for that for full first season.
Wow.
Wow.
As was Tom, I think. Like, are we pleasing the executives? We know we got raw talent. But are we actually voice actors yet? And I remember meeting Billy West at a con, having landed Rocco, going, wow, I get to be maybe work on a network that one of my voiceover legend heroes works at, Billy West.
And yeah, Billy's the nicest guy, too. Hey, great to meet you. Yeah, you're going to be fine. Yeah, you got a lot of talent. I heard about you.
Exclusively on Paramount Plus. Get ready to explore like never before.
Swiper, no swiping.
Oh, man.
Swing into action.
We need your help.
Woohoo!
Yay!
With a girl who put adventure on the map.
I don't think I can do it, Dora.
I'll protect you, Boots. Together, we got this.
Solos juntos!
Yeah! Dora, the brand new series. Stream with your family now, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
I'm telling you, he's huge!
Have you guys seen SpongeBob anywhere?
You mean Muscle Bob Buff Pants? He's in there!
Whatever. Thanks.
I would love to ask, when did you first become aware of SpongeBob SquarePants? Because, like, you're kind of on the outside. You know, it started brewing in its early stages. What did you hear about it? Did you know that it was Stephen Hillenburg coming from Rocco? What was your initial impression?
I think it was around 1999 or so, and Rocco had been going and then canceled, and then I heard there was a new show created by Steven, so I auditioned for all four of the male characters, or three of them.
And because they like Gordon. I'm the talking foot Gordon, who sounded like Johnny Carson. So that was kind of my audition for SpongeBob, was a Gordon.
And I knew a guy named Don Messier because Steve Hillenburg wanted that direction, so I did I'm Squidward. All right.
And then I tried to do a Patrick. I tried to do everything that the cast does better. And so I didn't make the cut of any of the original core characters, but I was brought on to do the characters that we reviewed up front. But I was aware of it right from the start. I knew that Steve Hillenburg had this idea for a while. And so I was brought in to audition.
And so in these auditions, is that when you come up with these side character voices? Like, do they tell you, like, this? Did you get to see, like, artwork? Were you like, and do you create?
I think there was artwork.
There was.
And Steve was telling us kind of what he wanted. He didn't know what he wanted for SpongeBob.
I'd already been in that range with Rocco. You know, he's kind of right there. But so I thought it would go more Gordon and more adult.
But obviously Tom is, you know, lightning in a bottle. And it's a jewel of a voice. And you can't imagine any other voice being SpongeBob, as you should not. It's just, he's it. I brought what I brought to Rocco, and you can't imagine another Rocco. He brings what he brings to SpongeBob and several other characters. And so it fits. And, you know, Roger Bumpus, because Bumpus has the attitude that I didn't have.
Right.
Bill Fagerbakke is that guy in real life. He's just such a nice, I love to talk Rams football, Carlos, even though you're a 49er fan. We can talk about it, right? I love football.
Oh,
and
God.
So we get
it's
along
so
on
great.
That basis. And Doug is Doug Plankin. SpongeBob. Doug is brilliant. Carolyn Lawrence is so wonderful. Lori Allen, all of them. But I enjoy the process because, yeah, you're trying to come up with something. You have an initial, I think, the way I think most voice actors form a voice is by watching. Mm. So, for example, the way I learned to do a Scottish accent was that I was at my friend Kevin's house every single day, watching his father John with that lip that never moved. And watch your Uncle Danny, who kind of had the face like this. And Auntie Liz, who was always squinting. So from the physical observation, I could make that voice happen. We're really going off physical cues, how the mouth is held.
Wow.
how it makes you shape a voice.
You know, Rocco, I used to do, hey, hey, oh my.
And Tom would stand as Heffer, oh, Rocco. He would really embody it, you know.
Yeah.
So we use all those cues to try to create or push out a voice that we think is going to fit.
And everyone that's not watching Carlos right now, like, he's completely physically transforming every time that he changes into a different voice.
Yeah, and I'm a sitter like Charlie, so when I'm doing Mr. Crocker, it's all here. I don't use my whole body, even when he does, there you go, parents! You know, but Tom is. Tom is a standard. Tom emotes and puts everything into it. Bill Fagerbakke is a standard. Doug is. Because now, we've been doing it so long that if you're in a session and you're auditioning and you've got it, you have to be able to tweak it. Or do the complete opposite. Because oftentimes an actor will come in and like, you got the callback. Oh, I got the callback of Randy, the cowboy. All right, I'm all ready to go. Oh, yeah, we got your callback, but we listened to it, but we don't want that. We want him to be this. And you're like, I'm not ready for it. Because I was all here. I was prepared for this.
Yeah.
And you wanted to be like this now. Oh, shoot.
Carlos, we would love to know if you can give us a little bit more insight coming from, I mean, again, back in the 90s, you're voicing all these characters at Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, and beyond, and it felt like the SpongeBob team was taking any opportunity they could to kind of bring you in. What was it like? What was the difference between those early sort of years of SpongeBob and then what you were doing at Rocco? Was there any kind of difference in the process, in the approach for that?
I think it was more fast-tracked for SpongeBob. Mm. They knew that, I think, Rocco was a hit and that something spinning or derivative of that show, that buddy comedy, Rocco Heffer, SpongeBob Patrick, that was going to work more quickly. And you had the benefit of Tom having so much experience under his belt and proving that he's multifaceted and skillful. And Roger Bumpus and Bill being from Coach, I think you had a more ready-made cast. A ready-made machine. You had a person also that was willing to crank out what Nickelodeon wanted. At that time, Joe Murray liked to work slowly. He wasn't in concert with how they wanted the machine to run. So I think it was more fast-track. There was more heat behind it. There was more advertising behind it, more toys, more merchandise.
Mm.
They were ready to go. And it's a sort of a more beautiful, more vibrant look than Rocco. Rocco's more adult.
Yes,
It's a guy living alone, working at a comic book store with frog neighbors that one of them accepts him. There could be some attraction from Beverly Big Head. They're playing Spank the Monkey, you know.
A little more raw, a little more crude, I think.
SpongeBob is more accessible, more bright, brighter, fun.
The imagination of kids, we're in a box, we can go anywhere, we're on Mars.
Rocco is more heavy-headed.
I don't know, Heffa. I don't know if I'm happy. I guess I am. I try to be happy.
So that it wasn't as accessible to the mainstream. So I think that's the difference. Is SpongeBob just had that machinery behind it that Rocco didn't. Or even Ren and Stimpy was still also very dark.
Yep.
SpongeBob
yep.
was an introduction into something bright and accessible for everybody. Mm-hmm. But with very clever writing as well, obviously.
Say, too bad your little brother Nobby isn't here, too.
Oh, he's here. Hey, Nobby, take a horn and get on in here.
Howdy, SpongeBob.
Wow, Nobby, you sure got big.
I need some beetles.
My fridge is your fridge, Nobbert.
Carlos, to go back to the SpongeBob universe for a second, talking about Nobby Narwhal,
you're
such
him.
A fantastic character, a really hyper hill folk character in the show. His gibbers are brilliant in that you can always understand the essence of what he's saying. How did you land on that voice and kind of pin down the gibbers?
Mm. Well, preface it by saying he's the Bumgarner, right? From Boomgarner, from blah, 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 King of the Hill.
Yeah, Boomhauer.
There's a little
Boomhauer.
Element to that where I knew Doug was casting the character. And I didn't want to assume, because I'm Mr. Lawrence's friend, that I'm just going to get the role. So he had actually written out actual gibberish that I deciphered and wrote out phonetically. Because I wanted to make sure I honored his writing for the audition. But I knew that he was high-pitched because he's a little boy. So, my daddy. I do. If you're listening to Stephanie Miller's show, I portray Liz Chaney as a little girl wanting his love. Daddy, don't
don't you love me, Daddy? I'm trying to be like you, Daddy. So I was already there with that.
So I'll get that direction from Tom. Just say that Nobby is really disappointed in Narlene because he doesn't get to have any sugar squeeze.
Well, I'm not fair.
So it's all an attitude and a projection of that attitude that lends to you getting that gibberish just right for the mood and Tom guiding you there.
Here's the thing, Carlos. Here's the thing. Like, you were already one of the greatest voice actors in the history of animation. But now, to me, you're also one of the greatest impressionists. You're also in that category, man. You're so good. And I love how you have taken a lot of that approach, a lot from your stand-up. That's what's just sort of finding your way into your voiceover characters. I think it's just fantastic.
Thank you. And again, credit to Billy West for letting me know that I don't have to be like Eric Bauza and Christian Lanz do a spot on Antonio Banderas.
Mm. Yes.
And I try to do as best I could. I want to be like them, Flones, Nation X.
But those guys have the bass and the tenor that I don't.
Interesting.
And so while I can't do Morgan Freeman like Josh Robert Thompson can.
Right. It's right.
Or Frank Caliendo or a couple of others or Ian McKellen, but I can get close and then make an original character. Mr. Crocker is a blend of, I've said this publicly before, Harry Shearer, Montgomery Burns, because people always say, you're doing Mr. Burns. I go, yeah. I'm totally emulating. Revenge is a dish best served cold, Smithers. There's definitely that there. There is, I don't want panties hanging on the rod. And then, you get nothing. Good day, sir. Which, when it's blended all together as Timmy Turner, you get nothing because of Harry Got Parents! So it's a blend of all of those three that I don't quite do exactly, but if I put them together, Mr. Crocker in a
you're
cup.
You're a painter creating a new color. You're just like, taking some reds, some yellows, putting them together with a little white and see how the color comes out.
I think Laszlo is a mixture of SpongeBob and...
Because I always got accused of like, hey, that sounds like SpongeBob. I go, well, really, Laszlo is... kind of Rocco with a little bit of sponge. Hey, Scoutmaster Lumpus.
Yeah, right.
He's not quite as high as SpongeBob. He's kind of right down here.
Yeah.
All right, Bean Scout.
And then Clam, if you listen to Clam, here's some secrets. If you listen to Clam, Fast Boat, he's basically a faster, more staccato version of Lou from the Greasers. If you listen to Come, Fly With Me, Gachinha, you hear, Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah.
If you listen in that same movie to Fear and the Dad's Head, the foot is down, you hear Garcia from Reno 911 going, get down. So get we down. Can sort of borrow and massage.
Nasty Nork, Spyro is kind of almost Rocco.
So you can play in octaves and add little tweaks and bass and pull it out and stretch it, you know. That's why oftentimes you'll go, oh, I hear Carlos in that, or I hear Tom a little bit in that, but it's different enough. It's nuanced.
Yeah.
And what makes it seem so much more different is what the work of what the animators do.
True. Yep. It's you collaborating with those animators and the writers and everybody to craft that character and make it a unique and awesome character. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I'm doing, if I go from Mike Wazowski to Rocco,
what's helping you imagine that's so great is the picture of them.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Really, it's just coming out of the same thing, you know?
it's just going from here,
to here.
Carlos, here's a question I've always wanted to know from voice actors of your caliber. Do you ever do a voice from one of your characters at home on your own, walking around the house for something? Like, which voice do you do the most by yourself?
Oh, gosh. What would be the voice?
Well, because of my dogs, I think it's closer to, I probably played this character on a couple of things, but I just talk to my dogs like that. Y'all want to go on a walk the block? We're going to go walk the block. You want some treat? Hey, y'all want some treat? So I think that's one of them.
Carlos, this has been a masterclass, man. We love SpongeBob. We love cartoons. And every person we've talked to, what do I say every week, Frankie? I say every person we've talked to, they're the most perfect person that is a part for the job, that is a part of this world, for the family. So we're so happy that you are a part of that SpongeBob family. But just like getting to talk with you has been great, man.
I love it. Yeah, I love Nobby and Harvey And I love working with Tom and Vincent and Mark and all the whole crew. And yeah, I'm proud to be a part of it. It's so fun. We need an episode where Kate Mulgrew steers the ship to Camp Coral.
Oh, we need that. Oh, that'd be
hey,
so
look
great.
At all the spaceships, Star Trek.
So
I
great.
Feel like
I mean,
you could just make that on YouTube right now. Like, just like, grab your daughter.
I told you guys. I told you I saw this ship.
If we can get some kind of a, if we can get some kind of like Rock Talk goes to the holodeck and hangs out with Rocco, I think that would be, I think that would like destroy the internet.
We may do something. My daughter and I might do something where Rocco gets to talk to Rock Talk.
I would,
that's looking for that.
Yeah, we would love to see that.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Hector
awesome.
And Frankie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
Carlos. Frankie, that was a master class right there.
I mean, immediately when he was talking, I was like, you have to be a professor of this because you are just so good at describing your craft. And it was amazing to actually get that kind of insight. We have a lot of amazing voice actors that come onto this podcast, but I don't think anyone has quite described the craft as well as Carlos did today, which was such an honor to listen to him. And what a career.
And
it
was also so, so funny. To get to chat with him. So huge thanks to Carlos for spending some of his time with us today. Guys, let us know what your favorite part of our interview with Carlos Alazraqui was. And
which impersonation was your favorite? Because there were 3 billion.
I think I might go with Billy Crystal. His Mike Wazowski was phenomenal. It was insane. Blowing my mind. But guys, thank you again for listening. Join us next week for another great episode of SpongeBob Binge Pants. Check every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, keep watching cartoons. We'll see you next time. Bye.